This is a HeadGum Original.
I will say that, like, we do a lot of songs that are kind of in the middle. Songs that are, like, great songs or good songs, but have, like, kind of like an Achilles heel or, like, a single flaw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're approaching 40 episodes in. My favorite kind of two songs to punch up are either just the worst possible songs.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or the perfect song. Mm. The song that you sit down and think, there's no way this can be punched up.
This song is so big. It's way bigger than even many of the other songs that we've done that also qualify as greatest hits. This is like weeks and weeks as number one on the Billboard Hot 100. This song is practically scripture.
Yes, it is. That's why I call it the Lord's Word. Don't gaslight me, fellas. Do you guys think that this song is not good? Tell me the truth now.
No, it's
before I fly to New York.
No, it's amazing.
With a lead pipe.
A lead pipe would make it through TSA. Your threat's real. Okay, I was just
I was running
through that. I was like, okay, yeah, that would work. You could kill me.
I will hold it above my head through the walk like in the machine that they scan it, and I go, yes, this is a lead pipe. No, I'm not going to use it on the pilot. I'm doing something in New York, and they go, oh, well, it's New York. You need to protect yourself.
Well, there's one thing about the song that maybe isn't perfect. That Evan and I were
talking
about.
You only fuck. You don't like to make love.
Thing.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Who are you? Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Yeah, that's right. It's Punch Up the Jam, and we're back, and I'm Evan Gregory, and I'm very happy to say that my co-host and brother, Andrew Gregory, is back this week.
I'm back. I've been on paternity leave, and I'm back.
You had a baby?
I had a baby. I had a baby. The only...
Andrew Dunn went and became a dad.
I had a baby. I'm a dad. It's my first kid. I'm just over the moon about it.
Congratulations.
She turns 3 months tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow. Wow. She turns 3 months.
We got a killer song to talk about. We got to get into this playback, but not before I welcome to the show Carl Tart, an amazing, prolific podcaster, titan of the genre. And we welcome him here from Gossip Kings, but also from his show, The Flagrant Ones, awesome basketball show. You've probably seen Carl on TV. He's on NBC's Grand Crew and has been a guest on many, many other shows. And what a treat to have him here to talk about this practically biblical song, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
First of all, thank y'all so much for having me. I appreciate it. You guys got a great setup. That mug is dope. That's a crazy mug.
Oh, thank you.
Sipping. Are you drinking coffee?
You know, I moved. It's late enough in the day over here on the East Coast that I moved from coffee to water, you know. But I'll tell you, the other thing is, I might sound a little hoarse right now because I was working right up to the wire, just belting out right here where I'm sitting right now, belting out my Wanye impression.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait.
I gotta tell you, my voice is tired as hell because these guys can sing and I'm just screaming it out trying to get 1% of the way there, you know?
Yeah. You know, I listened to Questlove's podcast called Questlove Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the guys on because they all went to high school together at a school in Philadelphia.
Were they there at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, they've been friends since high school. Isn't that cool?
Come
and he
on,
has
that's
a cameo
so cool,
in their first
man.
Video. Questlove
yeah,
has a cameo
in Motown
in
Philly.
Motown
he's like
young
air
Questlove.
Drum.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool. I know, so I guess Andrew, hit us with some background facts here or whatever so we can just like get into all the play, but there's so much to talk about with these guys. We can't talk about everything.
I mean, what did Questlove say about it, Carl?
Well, no, I was just going to say there was like five members of the group. And then one guy right before they blew up was like, man, I'm going solo. I don't need this.
Ouch.
In turn, he didn't need it. There was other guys who were in the group, too, that in the high school iteration of the group when they were just like in high school, who they had. There was other groups that came out in the 90s that had, you know, one song here, two songs there. That you can, when you hear the quality of their voice, you go, oh, I can see how that person could have been in Boyz II Men.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys were like real, real singers. They were choral singers. They like in every like fashion of the word singer. They are it.
Yeah, and they went to that Philadelphia High School of Performing Arts is no joke, man. It's really hard to get in there.
Yeah, yeah. And so they just have a really cool story, and it's just cool to hear. You know, I also went to a performing arts school.
And no kidding.
There's a lot of talented people who came out of my school too. I went shout out to Alexander Hamilton High School Academy of Music here in Los Angeles, California.
Woo!
We had that name before the musical came out, so
if you went to a performing arts high school in Los Angeles, you're gonna meet some crazy greatness.
Oh yeah.
Yes, so you're exactly right, Carl. You know, they went to Kappa, the performing arts school in Philly, and I mean, the funny thing about it to me is that the group was like a group that kind of rotated members, right? Because just like any high school group, it's just like, oh, like Steve and Jim graduated. We got to get two more guys. It's just so funny that it was like a bigger group that was around for a couple of years that just like graduated out a couple guys that were like this close to being in Boys to Men.
Oh, you could miss it by a year. Yeah.
Yeah, they were called the Unique Attractions or the Unique Attraction. But they, I think Nathan Morris is the only one who is like a true original member who like made it with a couple friends and was still in it after a lot of them had graduated.
Mm-hmm.
The three other guys have come in, plus the fifth guy that you're talking about who quit and was like, I'm going solo. But how they were discovered reads like a bad sitcom pilot. It's like the last scene of a cheesy 80s movie that they snuck into a concert at the Philadelphia Civic Center. And they were like, Will Smith is playing at the Civic Center. Let's get backstage and sing our harmonies to Will Smith and he'll sign us. Which first is like, it's just a very different thing, singing harmonies than being 1989 Will Smith. But they ran into Michael Bivins, the guy from Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yes.
The group that did Poison. And they knew some, they had just, like, Belle Biv DeVoe were in New Edition. They just left. And some of the songs they sang were New Edition songs. They were like, Michael Bivins, let us sing you a New Edition song.
Yeah.
And did, and he just was like, call me. And that was their career. Like, that was their start, is sneaking into a concert, meeting a famous person whose song they sang, and singing it to them. And he's like handing them a card, like, call this number. That's when the movie ends.
Yeah, call this number at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Because that was, you know, that was before cell phones.
Yeah. It's funny that their first album, we were talking about Motown Philly, their first single off that Questlove is in the video. It's still, like, really in the center of that New Jack Swing moment that, like, Belle Biv DeVoe is. It, like, when you think of, when I think try to think of New Jack Swing, I just think of Poison.
With that, Poison, like, is really, a big one?
Yeah, the big snare.
Now, you got to go back a little bit further. Teddy Riley invented the genre, of course, as we know. Mm-hmm. Teddy Riley from Guy. So Guy's music is big time early New Jack Swing. But also, Keith Sweat is kind of like the father of the genre.
Yes.
Oh,
because
Keith
his
Sweat.
First,
yes.
His first, the father performer of the drama. Teddy Riley made the genre up.
Okay.
But they recorded those songs in Teddy Riley's bathroom. Teddy Riley also says he recorded most of the songs on Keith Sweat's first album that I think went gold, maybe. And he still does not get royalty. He got paid $1,500 to do that album. He still does not get paid off of it.
What?
Ain't that crazy? I'm so happy that he went on to have a successful career, because that's nuts. He did most of the songs on that album. He should be a multimillionaire just from that album. And he was like, I got my $1,500 to do
it. And he doesn't have a writing credit on there?
No.
Come on.
He doesn't get paid from that. He doesn't get paid from that music.
It just goes to show you, when somebody asks you to record an album in their bathroom, you know it's not on the up and up.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's Keith Sweat's fault. I just think it was just a young kid, because he was like 17 when he did that album. Ain't that crazy?
That is,
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
Grew up playing in church, so he was like a music guy and had bought the MPC or whatever it was and just kind of had this new sound.
Yeah.
That took over like a good 6 year span, 6-7 year span.
Yeah.
And then just flamed out, was everywhere, and then was suddenly nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, until Bruno Mars came back with a couple of songs.
I miss old Sweat. Wonder what he's up to.
But that first Boys to Men album is super New Jack Swing.
That sounds a lot like Belle Biv DeVoe. Motown Philly, boop, bop, doop, bop.
Yeah, and but like the left turn to go from that to I'll Make Love to You is just like an amazing creative decision that paid off dividends for them. And this song, they wanted to work with a producing duo for their second album named Tim and Bob. Which is amazing to me that that's the name of any producing duo. They were like, what are we going to call ourselves?
Yeah, what's memorable? Tim and Bob.
Tim and Bob.
Are you guys big R&B fans?
Medium.
Do you remember in about, I don't know how old we all are here. There have been some hints. I think y'all might be a little older than me. But I'm 21.
You're 21. Okay. Yeah, I'm 20.
You're 22.
I'm 22.
So are you deep in with Tim and Bob, Carl?
Well, no, I didn't know who Tim and Bob was until about 2005 when this artist named Bobby Valentino came out with a couple hits.
Mm-hmm.
And they produced both of those. And they did these like drum loops that were almost like Indian, like from India, not Native American, but like almost like tabla.
Yes.
Like boom, doom.
Yeah.
And they both of Bobby Valentino's first two hits, like one was called Slow Down, the other one was called Tell Me. And they produced both of those. And I just remember those. And then I think they had one on Chris Brown's first album. So they like kind of got really popular in like the mid aughts.
In the mid aughts, but they had already had this long history.
I
remember that Bobby Valentino stuff because I saw some of that Indian stuff as sort of like taking a riff off of reggaeton, but with different ethnic instruments. But like the same underlying rhythm is there.
And like the tonality of the drums.
And slowed down, Bobby Valentino. And but that's when I first heard about Tim and Bob. I did not know that they were producing that far back.
Yeah. I was unfamiliar with Tim and Bob, but when I looked at their discography, my jaw was on the floor in terms of just like so many of the songs and so many of the artists they worked for. Like, of course I knew, but they're just like somehow their name recognition didn't pop for me like the Neptunes or like Babyface or like other big producers of the same era that kind of like somehow their names came out from behind the curtain.
And maybe it's because their professional name was Tim and Bob.
Yeah. Anyway, fun fact. The Neptunes produced what could be considered the last New Jack Swing song.
No.
What is it?
Rump Shaker.
Oh, yeah, I guess Rump Shaker.
Maybe it'll come back. Yeah, Tim and Bob's, one of Tim and Bob's big songs was the Thong Song. So, like, but they're also working on Boyz II Men's second album, which is called Two. But Motown, because they were so fresh, they were out of Atlanta. Motown didn't want to give them the whole album. They gave half of the album to two other producers. And one of the other producers was Babyface, who, like, talk about a discography that puts your jaw on the floor.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to even begin to describe the breadth of his
Babyface his would career. Be in the Songwriters Hall of Fame with 10% of what he's accomplished.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy, right? To even think about that. Also, another great episode of Questlove Supreme. I came on this podcast to promote another podcast that none of us host called Questlove Supreme. His episode is like a three-parter or something, like two or three-parter, and that dude's catalog. And also, just it's crazy when producers are just like certified hit makers. You know, there's guys out there who we know them as hit makers, like the Neptunes and things like that. But Neptunes also have a bunch of songs that they never did shit. You know,
yeah.
Like Babyface is like a hit maker.
He has
one
the Midas
I heard
touch.
A song.
He has the Midas touch.
Yeah, he has the Midas touch. Even new shit, kinda like even like newer stuff. Like he had an album with Toni Braxton that came out. Probably like, I don't know, like maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
8-10 years ago. And I was in Ross one day just looking through their gigantic shoe section because I got a gigantic foot.
Sure.
And they'll randomly have like a pair of like dope ass Nike cleats for like $8 because nobody wears a size 15 football cleat. Anyway, neither here nor there. The song is playing. The Babyface song is playing with Toni Braxton. I'm like, what the hell is that? That's jamming in here. And I would never think to listen to Babyface and Toni Braxton album in 2014.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that it was an actual hit on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, you know it's going to sound good because Babyface produced it. He wrote the song. But I'll just go out on a limb and say your barometer for whether something is a hit or not maybe shouldn't be, did it come on in Ross Dress for Less?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I have heard some songs in Ross that I had to Shazam. One of them y'all had on that list that I almost picked, but I don't know it well enough.
Hmm. Now, I feel like we're talking about Babyface basically having a magical power to make a hit. I was reading about him to get prep for the episode.
Sure.
And the legend is that his nickname was given to him by Bootsy Collins.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the moment that the magic passes into you and you have the power to make a hit forever is when you meet Bootsy Collins in passing and he's just like, you, your baby face.
Mm-hmm. You got a baby face, mama.
Yeah. Hey, boy, hey, just like, look at this little boy. Just like in here writing song.
The magic just like zings off of his bass guitar. Into your bones.
Is that magic that Bootsy can give out like as much as he wants, or does something get sucked out of Bootsy, like in that Denzel movie where the demon is going from person hopping from person to person?
Fallen, featuring John Goodman.
Yeah.
And
is it like that?
Who else is in that?
Or is it like Bootsy? Is Bootsy just a fairy godmother in this scenario?
No. If it is like the movie Fallen, starring Denzel Washington and John Goodman, Babyface has not passed the skill on to anyone else.
He kept it.
You know, Boyz II Men didn't want Babyface. They wanted Tim and Bob to do it. But obviously, the president of Motown was right. Babyface wrote this song. They did not want this to be a single off the album. Boyz II Men didn't? No, which is crazy to me. You know, so often creative people mock the executives for just being like absolute morons. But like, they're not always wrong.
You know what?
The president of Motown was right.
Yeah, I think I could probably guess why they were saying that. Like their first album was very like hardcore, young, like upbeat. New Jack Swing, 1991 type stuff, and the slow R&B songs were very much like R&B, like, you know, like, please don't go away from me. That one, like, and it was like more R&B chart stuff.
Yeah.
And they listened to this one. This song definitely could have been sang by New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, you know.
Mm-hmm. My fan theory is they just didn't want to sing it in front of their moms. You know, the president of Motown picked this, and it was just so horny. And they were just like, oh, if this is the single, we're going to have to sing this in front of our moms.
Yeah.
And
but they have a song on their first album called Ooh Ah, which is them literally just going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
No.
Just in harmony. And they sang that in front of their moms. Their mom, they also like grew up in church and stuff, and they definitely thought that this song would be too haunty.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can claim that ooh ah is about something else.
Being moved by the Holy Spirit.
Praising the Lord.
Yeah, praising the Lord, tasting a really good set of biscuits from Wayne Lee's grocery store.
Come on now.
You know?
Going to Wade's and getting some biscuits.
Yeah, but I'll make love to you. There's no question about what this is about, and Grandma would not like that.
Yeah, it's extremely horny.
You know, but what Grandma would like is this extremely tasty instrumental intro. I mean, we're going to go a whole hour talking about this song and not play any clips.
The funny thing I'll say about this song is that this song is so horny. Like, this song is just as horny as any song from that era that was getting, like, an explicit sticker on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow was more generally accepted by our culture. Like, this was probably played at my high school prom. So many of the rap songs that are just as horny, but had, like, a bad word in them. Mm. Like, no way they're being played at the Radford High School prom. But this song that's just about, like, hey, I'm going to draw a bubble bath. I'm going to come to your house and we're going to fuck. It's like, yeah, let's play that for the last dance for the senior prom. we'll just put that one on.
A lot of kids being born.
Yeah, so, you know, just that church going attitude just somehow shines through in the song.
Oh, there's a baby boom in 1991 for sure. This this song on the top of the charts for 13 weeks. Yeah, a lot of kids 31 years old today. Just pure synth goodness. You got a fake French horn in there. Oh man, I love the they have the brass section on the keyboard. You just turn on brass section and they all play at once. You know, it's like you could never get away with that today, trying to release a ballad with those same sounds, but you know,
people go insane.
Yeah, but it works. It works. I still remember where I was. I was over at Will Farmer's house first time I heard this, and you know, I thought I was pretty slick singer in the high school choir, and I'm a few years younger than Boyz II Men, but they're not old when this comes out. They're like 19 or 20 or something when this record comes out. And I was sitting there listening to their singing and being like, I'll practice for the rest of my life. I'll never sound as good as these guys do at age 19. It's just incredible singing.
And you were right.
Yeah, and I was right. Too bad. I attempted it today, and you guys are going to have to listen to it. Here comes verse one.
Close your eyes. And blow out the candlelight.
like it. You know, you got the one guy that's Nathan singing this first verse, I think, the sort of founder of the group or is in the founder's position. But you know, the other guys are in there agreeing, you know? You know, we're going to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That is the perfect verse. You know, melodically, lyrically, the sung delivery, like the way he flips from real voice to falsetto, which I'll not try to impersonate because, as discussed, none of us will ever be as good of singers as anyone in.
Listen, you don't need to repeat. You don't need to repeat it in my face.
Here's one thing I like, as I listen to it this loud in my ears coming from your computer, I go back and think again about how auto-tune wasn't really a thing yet. It was still like, if this is 94, it was still like 2 or 3 years away.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, I wonder how many times they had to do it. How many times Babyface, like, made them drill this. And, like, also, like, are they, like, one-take Jakes? Because they're such good singers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhere in between. If, you know, if I had to guess. You're exactly right. This is before auto-tune is even in secret use, like it was by the late 90s. It's a few years before that. So, like, these guys are really singing this thing. But these are really difficult lines. All these little melismas flying around everywhere. And I believe 100% that these guys are, you know, scoring an A+ on the sing-o-meter, and they could do it, and they could do it live. But a lot of times, you're learning the song as you do it in the studio. Then, you know, a year later, you've performed it 150 times live, and you can kill it. But a lot of times, a group like this, they're just coming to this song and learning it while they're doing the studio. So I know they must have done a million takes to get it to sound this tasty.
It's absolutely perfect. And I have it on good authority. This is an apocryphal legend that they also had to do it in front of their moms. Babyface. Babyface brought their moms in the studio, made them sing it just right into their mom's face. So that's tough. That's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They're churchgoers.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, then Nathan set the table here. We're going to celebrate all through the night. Okay. And then who's he passing it off to? Sean, I think. Everybody gets a verse in this one.
All through the night. Pour the wine. Light the fire. Ooh. Girl, your wish is my command. Mm. I submit to your demands. Golly. I will do anything. Girl, you need.
All right. I mean, some of these command and demand, he fit in about 85 notes on each of those words. But to me, like, their performance here is like combining the best of, like you said earlier, Carl, that this is a top 40 song. Like, anybody could sing this. It's not going to be relegated to the R&B charts. But they're bringing their R&B experience here, where, like, you heard the melody once from Nathan, and then you really never hear it exactly that same way again. Sean's bringing it up higher. Instead of, pour the wine, light the fire, and just singing it like that, he's already improvising upwards. Light the fire, and just making his own, putting runs all over the place. But the melody's so strong, you can still hear it in your ear. That's like a hallmark of a great song.
Like, the emotional urgency he's ratcheting up, like, through, like, he's pretty laid back at the top of this. It's, I don't know, do you think of this as the second verse or like the second half of the first verse? I'm not sure. But he's pretty laid back at the beginning of it. And by the time he's up to the chorus, he's just, it's like the emotional urgency, like, good God, what is this man about to say?
What is he going to say?
What is so urgent to this man?
I bet you they're all like, that's Babyface all the way. Just like knowing what sounds good so well that he's wrangling these guys' voices because they probably were like going too hard on some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is what they all were in the studio, because this song was very horny. They were all too hard while they were singing it.
Yeah.
Just like the song is saying, you got to work up to being too hard. You can't start too hard.
You got to beef up the meat.
You can't show up at verse one with a stiffy.
No. You got to just be on,
half,
you know, half stiff.
Half chub,
you know, like pool party style, you know? Remember when he's in high school? And he's like, okay, the girls are coming to the pool party. We got to beef up the meat. Mm-hmm. So it looks like when we get out of the pool, it looks like,
See, that's the kind of stuff you only know if you went to a performing arts school. We didn't get that sort of education. Yeah. Public high school in Virginia.
This is good stuff. I'm taking notes as a middle-aged man now.
I
still need that pool party chub strategy.
Yeah. It can't be hard. You're a creep if you're hard.
Yes.
But exactly right.
When you get out of water, they got to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They call it the happy medium.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly is going on in the scene that's been set? I mean, we're talking about musically, of course. I'm are enjoying listening to the sounds of it. But word-wise, this dude is delivering a bunch of commands to him. We've got a lot of imperatives here. Close your eyes, make a wish, blow out the candles, pour the wine, light the fire. There's a lot going on here.
But then he also says, your wish is my command. I think this is her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just now realizing this. Close your eyes, make a wish, and blow out the candlelight.
Sure. He's definitely.
For tonight is just your night. We're going to celebrate. This is about her fucking birthday. I've never realized that.
Could be Valentine's Day. Just birthday metaphor. I got one candle here. Blow it out and make a wish.
Yeah, it's a special occasion. Certainly a special occasion. Birthday or Valentine's Day. I don't know if you agree it could be Valentine's Day, Carl. But
I don't know about Valentine's Day. Because Valentine's Day could be for both parties. He could say, you know, close your eyes, make a wish, and blow out the candlelight.
And strong implication that you better be wishing for me.
But back to Evan's original point from 20 or 30 minutes ago, I mean, that's like the ultimate horny man maneuver to be like, honey, it is your birthday, and for your birthday, I'm going to give you the most special present. It's sex.
Yeah.
I know it's what you need. This has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with me, but I, as an altruistic gesture, will give you sex for your birthday.
I'm going to give you sex for your birthday. You don't have to thank me now.
This is a real hardship for me.
But you know how you can pay me back on my birthday? You could give me sex.
Yeah. Because as I said, the fellas are down at Hooters right now, and it's 50 Cent wing night, and I'm here with you.
Yeah, I have about an hour.
You should be happy. You should be fucking grateful.
Yeah. Happy hour ends at 6.
Yeah.
So if Y could be there by, say, 5:58 to put in my order.
Yeah. Damn, this is an early session.
Yep. Oh, I love it when they hold it out. Oh, you know, this song is probably greatest ever bedroom R&B song. This song supplanted Sexual Healing as the greatest bedroom R&B song.
Hot take, my brother.
You know, I'm just saying, from my perspective, it's Marvin Gaye, my personal preference. But from the world's perspective...
Just from records sold.
Yeah, just from records,
measuring from records sold.
This thing is winning the horse race for probably most plays in bedrooms.
Yeah. And for some reason, you can't play Sexual Healing at a high school prom. You can play this. I don't know why.
Mm. I wonder if they were in 1983 when the song came out.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was the last song of the night. No, it probably was If This World Were Mine by Luther Vandross and Cheryl Lynn.
Yeah. I love that he'll make love to her when she wants him to. Well, what if it's not tonight? What if she's like, yes, Saturday would be great?
Yeah.
Is that on the board for him?
He's like, but I bought you a wedge of cake.
I lit a fire.
I bought wine. I was like, I bought this Charles Schwab bottle of wine.
I put all my clothes in the dirty clothes hamper.
He's like,
I cleaned up. Yes, exactly. I cleaned up.
It's like,
look at the kitchen.
Like, usually, honey, you know I work late and then go straight to Hooters because it's right by
the
office.
Homies.
But tonight I left at 4:45 to get home by 5:15. And happy hour does end at 6, as previously discussed.
You guys are getting at my main thing here, which is like, as great as the song sounds, which is 110% great, it has implications that by stating it this way, I'll make love to you like you want me to. It's making it plainly obvious that every other time he's not doing it the way that she wants him to, and this is her one chance to get it her way. Other times he's not making love, he's just boning.
But
he's not holding her tight.
But it's got to be her way right away. If it's tonight, it's tonight or never, honey. This is a one night proposition.
Yeah,
you only get one birthday a year.
Yeah. Now,
well, honestly, your birthday theory kind of makes it better, because then it makes sense for it to be happening on the day of. Maybe.
Yes, I do believe that he may not be the most giving lover on other days, but tonight. is your night. Mm-hmm. And we're going to celebrate all through the night. And you guys going to have to put a not safe for work marker on this episode.
Sure.
And I will not let go till you tell me to. This guy took some horny goat weed. He's holding in that nut.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to hold it back. He's trying to hold it back for sure. And, you know, like,
Please tell me soon.
And, you know, he's building this up a lot. So, you know, she's getting a little tense. And what do you say to a woman who's feeling a little nervous?
You tell her, hey, relax. Hey, why don't you smile a little bit?
I got to pause it. There he said it. Let's go slow. I ain't got nowhere to go. Every other time we're in this position, I'm running out in 5 minutes. We're trying to keep it to a tight four.
No one had ever considered at this point that he had anywhere to go. But once he brings up the possibility that he could have somewhere to go, you just know he has somewhere to go. The WhatsApp, he got home at 5:15. Maybe he didn't have anywhere to go, but while the foreplay was happening, his WhatsApp started lighting up, and he was like, ooh, these are some tempting plans.
Yeah, the man
bro,
doth protest too much.
Where are you, bro? Where are you? We are out here.
We are out.
Who is this popping right now?
Yeah.
It's all flat night. They just dropped the 50 cent to 25 cents. I'm eating like 30 wings. This is Wanye texting me.
I will not let you go till you tell me to. Carl, you're hearing that as being about nutting.
It could be.
I read it about snuggling, and there, I think that's even worse. Because it suggests that, like, this is a man who never gives out snuggles post-sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's like revolutionary for him to be like, you know what, tonight, I'm going to snuggle you.
Some people have sensory sensitivity. Some people have sensory sensitivity. They don't want to be touching all night.
I think it's rude.
But it's her birthday. You've been complaining that I don't cuddle. Mm-hmm. After, even though it's very hot, you know the AC doesn't work in my house right now.
Okay,
this
okay,
fan
okay.
is not doing its work.
Okay, okay, you're bringing me around. You're bringing me around to the anti-cuddle philosophy.
Sure, but the elephant in the room is just Sean is intimacy averse. You know, he nuts and runs.
Come on, man, y'all not finna do that to my boy Sean.
Look, tonight I'm gonna concentrate on you. Other nights, I'm honestly thinking about someone else.
Okay, we heard from Nathan and Sean in those first couple stanzas, but when you come out with Gary, when it gets to that volume of belting, you know it's Wanye.
Is that Wanye? Okay.
Yeah. And he's the one who ain't got nowhere to go. He's not heading down to Wingstop yet.
I looked it up, unrelated to Nathan. Same last name. I was like, oh, is this a Stealth Brothers band? Is this his cousin's band? No.
No, just a lot of Morris's in Philadelphia.
A lot of Morris's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Morris, you know, named after General Morris of the 13th Infantry. I don't know. I'm just playing.
I thought that was the kind of Revolutionary War history that a graduate of Alexander Hamilton High School would know.
I'm just going to concentrate on you. I don't have one eye on the game like usual. Oh, yeah, Sean. Sean hits that one run every time. Hey, we're close to. Kills it every time. And it distracts you from the fact that he's giving you an instructional on how you have to do sex naked. I'm just crazy about this part. Hey, you throw your clothes on the floor, and you know what? I'll just go ahead and take mine off, too.
Yeah, because usually he's just doing it through the hole in his underwear.
Yeah, he doesn't even unbutton. Just out the zipper. You know, it's risky, but it's speedy.
Especially when you're not doing it slow.
And when you have to make an appointment down at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
That is dumb. The clothes thing is dumb. The first verse, as we said, absolutely perfect. It's only the nitpicking that's happening. It's just, for me, there's a little bit of, like, second verse-itis in this song. You have the perfect chorus. You have the perfect first verse, and you're like, we'll finish the second verse in the studio, right? And you start to get some, like, dumb stuff that's in there just because it rhymes. That if I feel like if Babyface is just like...
You lead with your A material, and you get to the second verse, and the B's and C's are coming out.
Yeah, of course you throw your clothes on the floor. Yeah, of course. Of course the clothes are on
you
the
can
floor.
Fold, you can fold them and put them on the armchair that she's got in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, the clothes
you can
chair.
Put them, there's a Peloton in there that hasn't been used in years. You can put them on the top of the Peloton.
Yeah. Everybody's got one piece of furniture in their bedroom that's really just a baseball glove for clothes, just a clothes catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be your Peloton, could be an IKEA chair.
Maybe I should get a coat rack. What if you just had a coat rack in your bedroom? You know, like one of those like 1920s coat racks, and you were just like, I'm not going to have a clothes chair anymore. We're just going to, me and my wife, we're just going to hang up like our the 10 last garments we wore and on this coat rack. Is that an improvement or is that
Don't do it.
Down?
It'll scare you at night.
You're right. That's spoken like a man who's tried it.
You'll wake up in the middle of the night to go pee-pee, and you'll see that thing with the fedora sitting on top, and you'll think it's a guy.
And it's casting a long shadow,
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm thinking about just going to, just straight to a washing machine in the bedroom.
Oh, I mean, you know what? I won't have to pick my clothes up off the floor if I just always have sex with my clothes on.
See?
There just always keep my clothes on.
Yeah, but did you make plans?
Yes.
Whatever you ask me, you know I can do. I don't know. I guess what is she going to be asking him?
One thing I'm going to say, just real quick, is the bass is so juicy. In the chorus. We've talked about all the lead singers.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
We're not
giving Michael credit.
The bottom end is honestly the sexiest part of the whole song, is hearing the bass round out that chord on the bottom. And like when I think of other boy bands, like when I think of NSYNC and when I think of like the Backstreet Boys, like I think it's like five
you
tenors.
Don't care about
it's
the
like
bass.
Five guys all singing lead.
They technically have a bass, but you don't care about it.
Yeah, or it's at least not mixed this way, but like the roundness and the juiciness of it makes this song so sexy. Michael, sadly, no longer with the Boyz II Men because of health reasons.
That's what they say.
What?
You think
that's
beef?
What?
Is it fake?
That was confirmed on Questlove's podcast that it was a falling out.
No.
Yeah, he thought he got too big for his britches. He heard people like you.
They kick
giving him all the flowers, and he was like, "Yeah, you're right."
He's like, "I'm going solo."
That's
so are you saying
that's the fatal flaw of any bass? A bass can never go solo.
You can't go solo. It's like big man trying to sell shoes in the NBA. Nobody wants Shaq.
What do they say on the podcast? They just say like, "Yeah, we kicked him out. He sucks."
They were just like, "Yo, it." They said health reasons back in the day, but. Because remember, he used to walk with the cane, and so
he had MS, right? Like that's not a lie.
They didn't make up his MS, right?
They didn't invent that.
All made up. No, just playing. I don't think made up,
they didn't make up MS.
They did say like he was like a little bit too. He was getting to be a little bit too cocky and stuff, and they had to remove him from the group.
Wow! Mm. But that's amazing. They didn't replace him with another bass to round out that big juicy low end.
Nah. No, they didn't need it.
That's kind of sad. If I went to a Boyz II Men concert today and heard them sing the chorus of this song, I would feel like there was a little hole in my heart not hearing that big low end.
They give you something to do out in the audience. you're out there in general admission going, love
to they would throw a mic down to you.
Want me to. Like we said, you're never going to sound as good as Wanya Morris. I'm never going to sound as good as Michael McCrary.
Yeah,
that sounded terrible. That sounded terrible.
Man. Their version of In the Still of the Night, so pure, so good. Big, juicy, round bass. Okay, well, I paused it right before we hit the bridge, which is where they really take the leash off of Wanya and just let him go absolutely friggin' nuts, belting up to the stratosphere.
I want to say this might be a thing for after the bridge, but Babyface Bridges...
Mm-hmm.
Just go back and look at some of his bigger hits and check out some of those bridges.
Well, what do you,
it was a TikTok that just went around that was like top bridges and songs by Babyface.
That's and a very like, specific TikTok, these... and it's very much that would be on my For You page, which is just weird stuff about music. It's so specific.
What were some of them, Carl?
A group called After Seven had a song called Ready or Not. Those are his brothers.
Yes.
Kavon and I forget the other one's name. But those are his brothers' group. they had a great bridge on some of Whitney Houston's jams that he did in the early 90s. Those bridges. The bridge on Can We Talk, which is one of the biggest bridges in R&B music history. Like, that was a big thing with the Can We Talk challenge that was going around recently from vocalists.
Babyface is not phoning in the bridges.
Yeah. Like, no. I was just bitching about the second verse. You'll hear no bitching about the bridge.
Yeah. Babyface is ready to bring the pain.
Yeah.
On this bridge. And they
The verse on Bring the Pains, House of Pains, Jump Around
was written by Babyface.
I'm joking. I'm
yeah, I don't think they had a bridge on that one.
Yeah, there was no bridge on that song. What if they were just like, baby, tonight is your night.
And I jump will around.
Do you right.
Jump around. And then they just started singing, baby, tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to jump around. We're going to take it slow.
Huh? What? What? You're taking it slow?
Not too many new ideas in this bridge here, but we really got it escalated musically.
That's the problem with the second verse, too many new ideas.
Yeah, here it is. He's just belting so hard. I get worried about
What is he topping out there? Like a D?
Yeah. The song's in the key of D, so that's a high B.
Ugh.
You know, there's not too many men can tear off three or four high Bs in a row like that.
He doesn't. I think Boyz II Men is. Did y'all watch that documentary that they had on Netflix a little while ago about the rise and fall of Boyz II Men?
No. Mm-mm.
No.
Oh, we'll get into that once we wrap this up. I
didn't even know there was one, honestly. I'm embarrassed.
It was just like a little short, like 30-minute joint about just their meteoric rise and how at the end of the 90s they had fallen out of favor because record labels realized, hey, wait a second. We could do this with white guys.
Oh, I laughed, but that's very sad.
Yeah, they showed the ads being like, we're going on a talent search for some of the best singers in America with an urban flair, but a classic look. Like, it was like such dog whistle shit.
The most coded. Yeah.
And like, next thing you know,
there's
1997.
There's always like one or two guys in the group that like maybe could not be white in like a vague way.
Yeah, in a vague way. And then, and this is like, these ads go around in like 1996. 1997, we got NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, all wearing baggy jeans and jerseys and doing choreography. And Boyz II Men is no longer, they have been relegated to the back at this point. It's just like right on the nose of just like the country that we live in, where it's like, yeah, you like these guys when there was nothing to rival them, but it's been happening throughout history.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know,
what if we
you got
took
the Jackson
these...
Five? The Jackson Five are huge, and they go, well, what about these Osmond boys?
What about
like,
these
because
Partridge?
There are racist people who like they literally said like there was dads in America that didn't want their daughters like fawning over four black dudes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like, in the early 90s. Yeah, what if we took these great blues songs and just gave them to Elvis to sing?
Yeah,
he's handsome.
Yeah,
you know, this is like, there's stories like this every decade of like whatever the genre is that the black people were doing and it's popular in the black market. Well, what if we just moved it over to this market?
And the saddest part that I always get the most sad about is that it always works.
Yes, the saddest.
It always works. It's never a bad business model.
The saddest part is that Iggy Azalea had a number one hit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This is what happened. They had like a 5-year run as the biggest group in America.
Yeah,
and then once people were like, "Oh, wait a minute, let's see these white guys do this." Like, they were like, okay, well, thanks so much, Boyz II Men. We appreciate it.
Here's a question.
Like, right.
You know, NSYNC, like, you look at Backstreet Boys, you look at NSYNC, the true staying power of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, when I think about it, like, the longest lasting imprint on our culture, solo career of Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, sure.
Was there a mistake by Wanya Moore? Like, would one of the Boyz II Men had the chance to pop out and have like extended that career if they had just been less loyal to the amazing group, which was Boyz II Men?
Maybe. I mean, I can't judge that. I'm just going off of, you know, kind of what we see, the eye test of this. I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan. I think he's one of the most talented artists that we've ever had.
Yeah.
But Justin Timberlake's whole flow is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest criticisms I have of Justin Timberlake as well, is that, you know, his solo career was just copying black people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of never, like, gave that credit until recently.
And it was also specifically, like, really fucked up around the Janet Jackson nipple thing. Like,
yeah.
The Janet Jackson nipple thing really fucked up her career.
Yeah.
And, like, Justin Timberlake is the guy who pulled it off.
Yeah.
He immediately is like, it was a malfunction and it was not my fault. And everyone was like, cool.
Yeah.
Go about your business.
You know, I wasn't, well, you know, one victory that Boyz II Men had is that they did make it to number one, and they were the kings. It wasn't just they had success on the R&B charts and then somebody plucked the idea from the world of R&B and black music and then made it bigger with Backstreet. It was like Boyz II Men, they did have success at the maximum possible level.
Yeah,
you know,
breaking all the records by the Beatles and Elvis, or at least on par with the Beatles and Elvis for like most weeks at number one, succeeding yourself at number one.
They were only the third act in the history of the Billboard chart to replace their own number one hit at number one.
Ooh,
it's pretty tight, right?
It's Elvis, Beatles, and Boyz II Men.
That's a major song fact.
Major song fact.
But I think you're right. Like, Carl, you're talking about that their career was shorter than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, like, our culture has kind of forgotten how big they were. Like, I would not have, if you'd asked me to guess what group replaced themselves, you know, who's the third act to do that? Like, I think I would have skipped ahead to, like, Bieber or Ariana Grande or something. Like, it's kind of a little bit of a black hole in music history. It shouldn't be.
I'm surprised Michael Jackson didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably just, honestly, that seems just like dumb business decisions. Seems like they space his hits out too much or something.
His song, he's big enough.
Thriller is still on the charts right now. Like, it's still on the top 200.
No. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it says a lot about, like, how nobody buys albums. It's on the top 200 for purchases. It's old people buying records.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, no, they were huge. That you guys should check out that thing they did on them. It was, I think it's called, like, Pop Star or something like
that.
And it was really great. Really interesting look into, because I didn't realize how big they were, because I was too young back then.
Boyz II Men has an episode in the show This Is Pop, which
that's what it is.
Technically, we are also in that show.
We're in that show.
Well, you are? Which episode is yours?
There's an episode that features T-Pain all about autotune.
Yeah.
And that's what we're primarily known for prior to doing this podcast.
Who are you guys?
Well, we made a video series starting like 13 years ago called Autotune the News.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
So we...
Bro, we watched that shit every day in high school. You used to have long curly hair.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew has...
That's our third brother.
And there's a third one of us. And you'll see him in the show being interviewed and talking about T-Pain. Yeah.
And eventually the ultimate compliment was that T-Pain was in one of our videos.
Yes.
Like the ultimate.
It's the ultimate flattery.
Yes.
What was the Herman Cain one that y'all did?
This is deep. You know the Herman Cain one.
Bro, we used to watch that shit in high school. That was the early days of YouTube right there.
Yeah, yeah. Early YouTube stuff.
And I was like music production major, music technology major. So that's why I was like, we would have computers in front of us because we would be producing.
I didn't know you did music production in college. Where'd you go to college?
In high school.
At Alexander Hamilton, you're doing music production. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That is y'all. That's tight.
Yeah. Now here we are. You're just out here doing this. Okay, what's left in this song, man? We're just down to the last two. Now we're just more choruses, and they turn Wanya loose, and he's just ad libbing the whole time. So we're gonna be singing about "I'll Make Love to You" while he just goes nuts, and then a long fade. Right. That's what's left. Let's play it out. Just turn it around and goes, keep it going. Just keep it going. Spin it up again.
There's only four members of Boyz II Men, but I feel like there's like 24 of them in that last chorus, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh, this is, yeah, there's at least 10 voices singing on that
sounds
last chorus.
So good.
You know, you get to these other boy bands a few years later, like nobody in Backstreet Boys and NSYNC is ad-libbing like that. No one can bring that amount of fire to the table.
No.
But there is just something so pleasant to the eye about Justin Timberlake, Evan. I don't know what it is.
I can't put my finger on it.
The ending where he just like he just wraps the song up in a bow.
Yeah.
I think that's just him being like, all right, now I'm gonna go meet the boys at Hooters. Right. Are we done here? Happy birthday. It's after midnight.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, by the end of the last chorus, they've had sex.
Yeah.
He's no longer proposing that they have sex. The sex has been had.
This song is 3 minutes and 57 seconds long, which is coincidentally the exact amount of time it takes Wanya Morris to nut.
Yeah.
And he's rushing that fade out is just him rushing out the door. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are on, baby.
Screeching into the Hooters parking lot, 5:58.
Yep, the Sixers game came on.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. Listen. I get it. The lyrics are, you know, they are what they are. It's no Bob Dylan song.
Bob Dylan wishes he wrote this song, man.
Yeah.
You know, he wrote Lay, Lady, man. Lay.
You know,
that's the same stuff, but worse.
You know how every 5 years there's a news story where people are bitching about how, like, in Singapore in an English textbook, they took out, like, a Shakespeare poem and they put in a Bob Dylan song? Honestly, I think it would rule if there was a news story about, like, well, they took out the Shakespeare poem, they put in Boyz II Men, I'll Make Love to You. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
if people in Singapore were just learning English by reading this.
Oh yeah, man. This is modern poetry.
Yeah.
The top 40 is our modern poetry. This is our this is our shared literature.
It's the perfect song, but can we punch it up? Frankly, we have to, Carl. It's our only choice. It's,
all right.
It's the theme of the podcast. It's the point of the podcast. What do we have to go on? We have extreme horniness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is the song too horny? Is the song not horny enough?
Mm-hmm.
And just like, it's her birthday, but who is the present for?
Mm-hmm.
That for me is the heart of the question.
You got to take a hard look in the mirror there.
I personally think the song is not horny enough. I think it could be extremely horny.
Go hornier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying like really gross, like almost like a porno.
Yeah. Horny. Real sloppy. Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah,
it's 2022. Our relationship to sex is different now. We don't have to be as coy about it.
So yeah, you bring it into the present and make it a real mm-hmm. Doja Cat type joint.
Get into it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you watch the music video, it's basically like the introduction of a porno where a guy's like showing up to install her security system, and she's like in the bath. It's walking you right there.
Yeah, you walking right up to the line. Sure, but you know that's got
to
be one of the.
She's saying like, "Would you like to stay for a drink?" You don't say that to the guy who has your security code.
Also, you don't need a security system if you're just throwing it out like that.
If you're in the studio recording a song, that's got to be one of the top five questions you ask your bandmates. Do we go hornier?
Mm-hmm.
Is this horny enough?
So usually, Carl, we'd go away for a week or two, work on this, but we're going to take a short break, and then we already have the punch-up ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because
let's go.
I don't know how, but somehow we anticipated some of the concerns that some might have with the song, and we got the punch-up ready to go. This one is fully blitzed. So we're going to take a short break and be back in a second with the punch-up of Boyz II Men, I'll Make Love to You.
Okay, the one thing I really couldn't get past is that this guy is pretty insistent about he's gonna make love to you as if it's this thing that, a huge favor that he's doing, this big gift that he's given to you. And everyone in the freaking world knows that with very few exceptions, the man wants sex more than the woman. And I see right through this thing. I mean, he's just trying to set himself up for sex. He's just trying to set himself up. Who's the gift for, man?
There's also a 90% chance he just forgot to give her a gift.
Yeah.
He was at work, did not have a gift, went to the basement of work, got a box, wrote on a piece of paper, 1, gift certificate, 4, sex, put it in the box, wrapped it in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Lit a candle, let her blow it out.
Yeah.
Done.
This is before, now that answers one question that we did have, that this is not about Valentine's Day, because at Valentine's Day, driving home, there would have been a bunch of like vendors on the side of the road that he could have got, like a bear and some candy and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's easy.
They don't do that for a specific birthday. This is for her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. We got to the bottom of that one. You know, we looked at the clues, but anyway, that's my angle on this thing. Just trying to make this song a little bit more honest. That's a punch up. If this song is being a little coy originally, it's kind of beating around the bush a little bit about who this present is for. We've got a punched up version here that is a little bit more honest. Tells the truth about exactly who's holding the power here and who wants what from whom.
Wow, it's like a Michael Foucault book, Evan.
Yeah, give it a listen. Give it a listen.
I'm a man, I have needs, and tonight you won't decline. I bought some $7 wine. Had to go to Trader Joe's to make the perfect night.
You
don't like wine. Hear me out. How about ice cream and TV? Real Housewives, season 23. I am so desperate. I will do lady stuff. Please have sex with me. I am so horny. Could you drop a clue? What you want me to do? Please have sex with me. Out of charity.
Oh, you sound great, Evan.
Girl, if this Hallmark shit ain't for you, forget vanilla, go plain nasty. Whip my ass and call me Zaddy. Just a random thought I had. Doesn't have to be that exactly.
Grudgingly,
I'd agree. Despite my raging erection, to the ultimate concession, I will have sex slow. A one-time exception. Please have sex with me. I am so horny.
Please.
Could you drop a clue? What you want me to do? Please have sex with me. Baby, I brought 3 other guys. You plus boys, 2 men makes 5. I don't mind sharing the pizza if it means I can just get a piece. Oh, please don't tell anyone this was my idea.
Wow.
It's a lot better now.
Oh my gosh. They ran a train.
I mean, somehow we talked about this for an hour. We never brought up the fact that
there's a lot of guys singing this song.
Four guys saying that they want to have sex with her.
There's a lot of different guys.
We kind of left it on one dude, but it was all of them that had a verse. And it's exactly the same girl.
All of them had this one. Yeah.
This song is about a train.
This song's about, this song's about trying to get the Brooklyn Bridge going.
Girl, I know there's just one thing you wanted for your birthday.
There's just one thing you wanted.
There's one thing I know you've always wanted.
To me, and me to invite all the guys from my singing group over.
On your special day.
Wow, wait. I am flabbergasted. Really? This song is about a train. I can't believe.
They didn't want to say it. It always punches this song up. You make it a little bit more honest if you just say the thing that they didn't want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they're willing to stoop to the lowest level, which is enjoying things that ladies like. Things like roses, baths, chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that bad, guys?
And they took an Uber XL, which I think is the most inaccurate part of the song, only because you know that Boyz II Men is riding around in a VW bus.
I thought you were going to say, because four guys can fit in a normal Uber. They want to save some money. They're like, the Uber XL is $30. The Uber X is $20. We can fit. We'll put three guys in the
Uber XL black. Have them send us a Mitsubishi Montero.
I mean, we wrote this yesterday, Carl, and I felt like we were kindred souls during the podcast, but it really put my jaw on the floor when 45 minutes ago you mentioned that the guy brought a bottle of Charles Schwab wine.
Yeah.
You were like, this guy's a guy who brings Charles Schwab wine over.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me not to spoil the surprise.
Trader Joe's. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right there on Hyperion. He's driving by it on the way to his girlfriend's house. He can just duck in really quick.
Yeah. She lives in Atwater.
Thanks for hearing us out, man. Well, I'm gonna send this one over to Babyface, see if I can get a little placement.
My only regret is that we didn't get your lyrical suggestion in, which is run a train, you know.
Yeah.
just you know, if we're punching up the punch up, you fit that into the last
course. Yeah, we left that one on the table.
You can still, you have time to add it in. There's two things that you should add in. When you say, I'm in, I have needs, and tonight you won't decline. I brought some $7 wine. Had to go to Trader Joe's. TJ's. And you didn't add that?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And then at the end, when he's, you know, when he's really going off, you can say, run a train all the night.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You sound great. What we will do is we will send you the track, and can you sing all this?
You have to be Sean. Okay. You have to be Sean agreeing with everything.
TJ's. I'm not even. I'm not even kidding, because now we know you majored or you studied music production.
This is
please.
Yeah, we know you as actor, comedian, podcaster. We didn't know you majored in music production. Now we're going to make you guest on the Punch Up.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. I'm down. Always down.
So, Carl, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast. I'm honestly flabbergasted at the depth and breadth of your knowledge. We have a segment on the show that Evan hates where I ask him a trivia question, and if he gets it right, I have to Venmo him $5.
Are you doing it right now?
No, I'm skipping it because for the first time ever, our guest, Carl, mentioned the trivia himself.
What?
Offhandedly. I couldn't quiz you with the trivia because Carl mentioned that Questlove went to high school with the Boyz II Men. That's going to be the trivia question. So I'm going to Venmo you $5, Carl.
Thanks so
just
much.
Yeah,
wow. Because he just knew it off the cuff.
He knew it.
Get $5, yeah. $5, baby.
Carl gets $5 for just being a genius.
But there's another segment we wrap the show up with, and that's called Walk-In Music.
What is your walk-in in music?
And that is a segment where we talk about a song we would play while walking into a scenario of our own choosing. It could be real, it could be fictional. I thought I would have to do this one time, which is why I thought it would be a good idea, and I thought invented the segment. But unfortunately, Evan has made me do it upwards of 30 times now, and we have to keep coming up with walk-in songs.
Do you have a song this week?
I do have a song this week. As we mentioned, recently back from my paternity leave, my last walk-in song before paternity leave was celebrating the imminent birth of my daughter. This walk-in song, celebrating the What's the opposite? What's the opposite of imminent?
Recently transpired.
The recently transpired birth of my daughter. This is just me walking in the front door from work today, just being happy to see my daughter. Love her.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
You know it. You love the Hallelujah chorus.
Love it.
But you probably never heard it like this. Hallelujah. Acapella. I wanted to drop an acapella jam during the Boys to Men episode.
In honor of Boys to Men. Sure.
Yeah, honor Boys to Men by the great group, the Roaches.
The Roaches. I don't know about that group name for this.
Yeah,
group
it's
of
tough.
Group
it's
of ladies.
Their last name. It's three sisters.
Group of ladies.
I believe that
acapella.
One of them. I believe that one of them is the mother of Rufus Wainwright and Martha Wainwright. I think. But that's their last name. They could have picked a different band name. I agree.
This is a great pick, man. Just you rolling in after day of work.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
What's that group called? The Roaches, you said?
Yeah, Roaches. It's their last name.
I think it's
pronounced like a roach. Maybe I'm wrong about how to pronounce it.
It's definitely pronounced like roach. And when I hear that, I don't think, oh, this is their last name, like the Allman Brothers or something.
Yeah, you think if you told someone like, hey, I really love this band, the Roaches, you're like, oh, so they like probably opened for like the Clash.
It's a punk band named after Disgusting
Buck. A bunch of guys in leather. You don't imagine three sisters sing the Hallelujah chorus.
Yeah, okay, that's a real curveball. All right, I'll go next. This is a song that I found many years ago in a dusty record bin, and my jumping off point for including it here is Bedroom Music. This is the song that I would play to convince the lady to please have sex with me.
It's your I'll Make Love to You.
Yeah. And it's a really funky jam, but this comes from a group you probably never heard of called The Undisputed Truth. And this is from the era in the 70s when if you're in a funk band, you had to be very silly. Funk was really silly for several years back then.
Like when you bought that 90s album, Pure Funk, and all the, that you bought off the TV ad, and all the songs were really, like Kung Fu Fighting and all that stuff.
Yep. Ooh, I'm gonna tell, says this guy. Mm-hmm. This song is called Poontang. And it is a manifesto about a man who wants to admit to the world that he is not afraid to go down.
Right, in the 1970s, a shocking admission.
Mm-hmm. The rhythm section is getting it though. Like the song sounds good. This is not pure novelty. I used to hate it till I ate it. I'm doing all right, y'all.
I mean, I had a lot of questions about Boys to Men's like strategy about convincing a woman to make love with a song, Evan. But honestly, I have even more questions about your strategy trying to convince a woman to make love by playing them this song.
Absolutely not. You put on I'll Make Love to You, it's a little too intimidating. Like the woman knows what's coming. It's like it's a lot to hear that song come on if you're just needle dropping that right when you guys walk into the bedroom. But when I put on Poontang by The Undisputed Truth, it's like, it's happy, it's upbeat, energy is positive, and then you gotta get about a minute in, and then you hear, Poontang! I used to hate it till I ate it. And she's sold.
Yeah, you're right, it's a great idea to play that song at the beginning of a lovemaking session. You won me over. It's a very good idea. Try it at home.
Okay. It's a great song. Carl, yes. I understand you have a real walk-in song.
Yeah, now this, I'm sorry to switch up your segment a little bit, but this is actually walk-out music. You see, I play in a little bit of a baseball league here. Mm-hmm. Fast pitch.
Ooh, okay.
Try to play me as fast pitch. People out there throwing some heat, okay?
Grown-up stuff.
And the last season I played in, I led the league in slugging. So
what?
I swangs that bat. Okay?
Come on, what a flex.
Los Angeles, I imagine, is a city with a lot of serious recreational baseball players.
This is not a bunch of slouches in the fast pitch league.
No slouches. There's a couple slouches, for the most part, it is a beer league, but it is fun still, and it is very competitive still.
That's a dangerous combination. A beer league that is fast pitch.
That is competitive. Yeah, yeah. The most of the beer is drank after the game, though. But the pitcher's usually not drinking too much, thankfully. But this is the song that I choose to walk out to. Now, I heard this song in a country bar. in Lakewood, California, called Cowboy Country. It's a line dancing song. And as I told y'all before, though I was raised in Los Angeles, I was born in Mississippi, and country music is a part of my life that I really enjoy country music. And when I heard this song, I was like, oh, that's what I'm walking up to the plate to every wow. time.
Here it is.
So this is the song. This is called Whiskey Drinking SOB by my brother Michael Knight, the country rap king. If you want to roll with us, you got to do it like
this. One step. On those first drum hits, do you like knock your cleats with a bat? Please tell me yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now you gotta see the older ladies line dance to this too, in their boots.
I want to see the line dance, but I also want to see the other players jump to their feet when this song comes on. If you're leading, if you're leading the league in hits, everyone in the league recognizes this song and they know who's coming to the plate. Like,
they know who's coming.
If you're one of the chumps in the league, this is a punchline. But if you're leading this league in slugging, this strikes fear into the heart of the pitcher. Yeah.
The pitcher takes a step off the mound when he hears this. When he hears that those two boots hitting the ground.
And also the pitcher's probably like, man, this song sucks.
Yeah,
he's wrong. He's wrong. But I'm just guessing the average fast pitch pitcher in LA thinks this song sucks.
Oh, those old country ladies do love to hit the floor when this song comes on, though.
When that down there would be a they did line dancing the whole night. There's two dance floors on both sides of this huge bar. It's like in a big ass barn, almost. And the line dancing was all great. There was a bunch of songs that they would do line dances to, and that was one of them. When that one came on, it was always very cool to see everybody just kind of get on the floor and do the choreographed line dance to that song.
Wow. Where is Lakewood, California? Is it like a suburb, like an exurb
North
of LA?
North Long
or?
Beach.
Okay.
North Long
Beach.
So
it's like a country bar, like not too far from. It's not like you're driving like 5 hours north of San Francisco to the outer reaches of Redneck, California.
You're not going to actual country. He's in the middle of LA.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a. But see, I will say this. When the 2016 election happened, my visits to that bar kind of slowed down.
Yeah, you don't go back there.
You got a little bowl down
there.
Yeah,
that's around the time I stopped going to Islanders games.
Yeah.
I was like,
got a little rough. Yeah.
I was like, I can get $15 seats, but I don't know about this. I'll start paying for the $50 net seats again.
Yeah.
Man, speaking of paying for tickets for basketball games, we have to thank Carl for coming on as an excellent guest by promoting his basketball show. Carl came on and just happily bragged about being the best slugger in his baseball league, and we have to brag on him for being a titan of the podcasting industry. You have to check out The Flagrant Ones. Carl's basketball show comes out every week. What should our listeners know about your show?
Well, the first thing you need to know is that you do have to pay for it. That's the most important thing. Secondly, it's hosted by myself and my two buddies, Hayes Davenport and Sean Clements. Y'all may know them from the great podcast Hollywood Handbook. It's really fun. The show has been described by listeners as us just naming a bunch of players and making jokes, which if that it's not inaccessible to people who are not into basketball. But if you want something that's not about sports at all, if you're one of those people who's just like, yeah, sports, which I don't like your personality usually when you are like that, you can listen to the Gossip Girl podcast that I host with my good buddy Lamar Woods. It's called XOXO Gossip King on the HeadGum Network, and where we are literally in real time going through the whole series of Gossip Girl and just getting our gab on about it, you know, and it's real fun. I'm watching it for the first time. I did not catch it back in the day, and I'm into it. I hate it. I love it. All the emotions. It's a TV show that I watch genuinely.
It's a great show, and you need the perspective of a couple of kings on what's going on in Gossip Girl.
You need it, and we will have y'all on. You got to come out to LA to do it because we do it in studio.
I would love that. We love to share turns as guests on our HeadGum Cousin shows.
And I love to come to LA. I love Los Angeles, even though we live here in New York. Los Angeles rules. I love anytime I can get out there, I love it.
Yeah, we don't hate.
Get out here. Get out here and get on our show. It's time. We need you. Y'all are legends. I can't believe this. Full disclosure, I did not know who was hosting this podcast. Is this still doing the show? And then when I found out who it was, taking me straight back to high school, man.
Mid-episode. Yeah, mid-episode.
We found out while we're taping the show.
I couldn't believe it. It's great. It's great to meet y'all. Y'all definitely made some of my high school days very much better when we will be watching y'all's videos while we're supposed to be producing our albums.
Oh, man, thanks. Well, I mean, this was a joy. It's great to meet you and hang out with you in this format. I always love to meet someone cold when I'm supposed to record a podcast with them. You know, it's the best way to get to know somebody. But I feel like we did the work today. This song is scripture, and we're out here trying to do the Lord's work, and that is improving an unimprovable song, and we did it.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam, punch it up.
That was a HeadGum Original.